From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Our state has no lack of great camping sites where you can park your car, truck, or camper and begin to enjoy the great outdoors almost instantly. But have you ever sat on a campsite picnic table and looked out over a far-off peak and wondered what it would be like to leave the car and instead hike off on a trail and spend the night beyond the established campsite? If taking that next step in camping and hoisting a pack on your back to venture further into the woods is intriguing to you, then grab some trail mix and settle in. Today on the show, we'll talk with a woman who's an expert in backpacking and runs the site Hike Oregon. She'll provide practical advice on how to start, how to stay safe, how to begin backpacking economically, and most importantly, how to have fun. Summer is around the corner, and many people will be taking to the woods to camp in our wilderness paradise. For some, this summer might be the best time to try something new, like backpacking. Today on the show, we'll talk with an expert who will give you practical advice to start your journey deeper into Oregon woods. Francesca Weinheimer, she runs the website Hike Oregon. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, gosh, I've been a backpacker for several decades, but I remember when I first started and I was nervous about a lot of things. You know, having been someone who just did day hikes or maybe went car camping, I really wanted to find out what overnight backpacking was all about, but I had a lot of fear. So, you know, first, let's start with a real simple question for people who may not know, or at least may not know enough about the various logistics. Talk about some of the main differences between what they might experience in a day hike versus an overnight backpacking trip.
Yeah, so I would say the main difference between hiking, like day hiking and backpacking, is the gear you're carrying.
Yeah.
Right? And so when you're day hiking, you're carrying like a small pack, you might be carrying your lunch, first aid, just simple things, maybe an extra jacket. When you're overnight backpacking, you're carrying basically all of your essentials that you will need for the day, the night, maybe even the next day. You're carrying your shelter, your food, and possibly, if you're not staying at a water source, you might even be carrying all of your water. So that's something to think about.
Yeah, and I imagine for people, you know, just starting out who are used to that, you know, maybe a day pack that maybe weighs just a few pounds. Yeah. They've got, you know, an extra snack, an extra jacket, as you talked about. But we're talking about, you know, obviously carrying your entire world that you're going to need for at least 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a significant weight difference, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I tend to carry more than probably most people do on a day hike.
Yeah.
I'm very prepared.
Yeah.
People make fun of me. But so my day packs generally range like 10 to 12 pounds.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, my overnight pack, I try to keep it below 35, depending on how many days I'm doing. Food obviously gets really heavy, so.
Yeah, food and water. Well, and actually, I'll even back up a little bit to just talk about day hiking for a second, because, you know, I would imagine, and I've had an opportunity to talk to people who do search and rescue and also outdoor experts. You know, day hiking sounds simple. Like maybe you're going to hike for a couple miles and go to a place, but obviously things can happen. Why don't you talk a little bit about your day hike pack? What are the things, because we're going to get into equipment, but I want to, you know, talk about those things that you think, you know, even if you're just going to go out for a couple hours, what are some of those important things you should think about to carry when you're going on a day hike?
Yeah, so I started carrying basically what they call the 10 essentials. Mm-hmm. I didn't used to carry those things. I started carrying them after the Eagle Creek fire.
Oh, interesting.
And when I heard about those hikers that got trapped.
Yeah.
And many of them, most of them, I think there was one guy with a water filter, most of them were just there to swim. You know, they hiked in a mile or two. They didn't have much in terms of equipment, even day packs. You know, they may have had a water bottle for the day, a towel. And they were just hiking in to enjoy the day and go for a swim. Next thing they know, they have to hike and trek out to Wadham Lake.
Yeah.
And that was many, many miles overnight, and they were not equipped. So after that horror story, sure. I started carrying just more than enough, basically, to be equipped to stay the night if I had to in an emergency situation.
So what would that look like? What are some of those things that maybe people should be aware of?
So first aid kit, really important. Water filter, really important, because you never know if you got injured and you have to stay there for multiple hours while search and rescue comes. You know, you have some water that you can filter. Extra food, extra snacks, more than you think you'll need for the day. Extra layers, even if you're going in the summer. Like I said, you never know. You could be out there overnight. It's always important. Take a puffy coat. You know, they weigh like nothing. And then also, you know, a rain jacket is helpful sometimes. You never know.
Sure.
And then I always take one of those like little emergency blankets. You
Know,
those, like,
yeah, those little solar blankets that are made of like Mylar or something like that. Yeah,
because those are really helpful if you are cold, if you are wet and cold. Also, you could build a little like shelter thing if you have paracord. So I have a little bit of paracord.
Sure.
And then, you know, I could build like a little tiny shelter if I needed to hunker down for the night.
Just
those kinds of things.
sure. And that makes sense. And yeah, I should throw in a word here too. You know, even though it's amazing, you're outside, you see these beautiful rivers and streams with this crystal clear water, don't do it. Having a filter is so essential because no matter what, no matter how clear water looks, waterborne pathogens are everywhere. In the most beautiful streams and ponds you'll ever see, it's still, water filter is really important.
Yeah, I don't even drink out of springs that say they're springs, literally coming out of like middle sister.
I just don't.
It's not worth it.
Let me reintroduce you to our audience. We're talking with Francesca Weinheimer. She runs the website Hike Oregon, and we're talking about beginning backpacking. So then let's go ahead and add some pounds to our backs going from a day hike. Talk about some of the pieces of equipment that are important if you're going to extend your day hike into an overnight or multi-day trip.
So most people will overpack gear and food, at least on their first few trips. That's pretty much unavoidable until you've gone a couple of times. People pack their fears, and that's totally natural.
I want to ask you about that. That's a line I've heard a lot, especially with through hikers, this idea of packing your fears. Talk about that.
So like for me, example, with the day hiking, you know, that is now a fear I have of getting stuck out there overnight and not being prepared, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm prepared. I've packed those fears. Another fear I have, I guess, is running out of water. So I always have way too much water, which water is so heavy. So
yeah, remember,
it's not fun.
A gallon of water weighs 8.2 pounds. It's really heavy.
So those are kinds of the fears that I pack, I overpack water. Let's see, other people might overpack food just because they don't know, like, am I going to be super hungry? Some people underpack food because they just don't know. Some people will just pack way too many clothes because they think they're going to be uncomfortable, that kind of thing.
But certainly, you know, packing your fears can lead to an issue of having significant weight. So you might think, oh gosh, you know, I've got a flashlight. Oh, I should bring two or three in case they fail. And it could be a situation where you're like, you know what? Maybe you need to realize even if the worst thing happens, you can probably struggle through. And so you really need to be cognizant of that extra weight.
Yes, because that can make your trip miserable.
indeed. Sure. Well, talk about some of the basics. You know, they talk about the big three, I think, you know, or maybe it's even big four now with a ground pad. Talk about some of the things.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. I usually think of the ground cloth as part of your tent.
Sure.
Because most tents come with something like that.
Sure.
So tent, sleeping pad, and sleeping bag are like the big three.
Yeah.
And then I guess your backpack yeah, as well. Yeah. So those are like your main things that you're going to need. And then also some things you might not have in your day pack are like a cook pot, a water filter, headlamp. Mm-hmm. Some people carry headlamps in their day packs. And then a backup battery bank to charge your phone. That's also kind of important. And then, but everything else, like hiking clothes, hiking shoes, you know, first aid kit, those things you probably already have in your day packs.
Yeah.
You don't need to like rebuy all those things, especially for backpacking.
Let's talk a little bit about cost. You know, if anybody goes to, you know, REI or goes to their website, you could have sticker shock pretty quickly. It's amazing. There's amazing equipment. It does some amazing things. But boy, I tell you, you know, backpacking is not a cheap endeavor. But there are some hacks to that that you don't have to. So talk a little bit about cost, but then ways in which you might be able to beg, borrow, and rent and stuff like that, so you can make sure it's a sport you want to continue.
Right. That's the thing with backpacking is you should probably try it more than one or two times before you're like, I don't like this. Because backpacking, it's people glamorize it.
Yeah.
I would say it's 50% not fun. it can, you know, there's some miserable experiences while you're out there. And, you know, your first trip might be really awful. Maybe it rains the whole time and your pack is heavy. Maybe you got blisters. Maybe there's a bunch of downed trees and it's just a miserable experience.
Sure.
You know, go on two or three more trips. But yes, asking friends for gear while you're trying it out. Maybe there's a place you can rent gear. But also Facebook groups, I have found. There's a lot of backpacking Facebook groups and also specific gear resell Facebook groups. So buy and sell gear groups, which are really great. People use stuff two or three times, and then they're like, hey, I found something better, or hey, I don't like this. And they sell it on there for like half the price, which is great. REI also has really awesome sales.
Yeah.
So take advantage of those sales on big ticket items. The 20% off on like a tent is huge, or a backpacking backpack. Those are...
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's definitely worth waiting for the sale for those items.
Boy, you know, why don't you give us a little bit of a tutorial? Talk about maybe sort of the preparation. Let's say there are beginners out there who've only done car camping and day hiking, and they really want to take their first backpacking trip. Maybe talk a little bit about preparation. And I'd say it this way, both the mental and physical and equipment prep for taking your first overnight trip.
Okay. Well, my first tip is go on some day hikes with your loaded pack. Because, like we mentioned earlier, the weight difference is extreme. And there's no better way to prep than to actually go out there. You don't have to spend the night. Just take it for a day trip. Load your pack with all your gear. If you don't have all your gear yet, maybe load it with water bottles or something to make it heavy and just go for a hike. Also, on this day hike, try out your items. So set up your tent, you know, at your lunch spot. Set it up. Practice that, because you don't want to be in a situation where, hey, you get to camp later than you expected on your first overnight, and now you don't know how to set up your tent. Also practice filtering water with your water filter, cooking with your cook stove. It might sound simple, but once you're out there and you're in the middle of nowhere and you're like, oh, I can't figure out this cook stove. Well, now you can't eat dinner. that would be unfortunate. So, but in terms of like physical training, you know, obviously most of us can't go out multiple days a week to train. If you have a gym, you know, use the stair stepper. Also, weight training I found is really helpful. Like just some weighted squats and lunges for me have been a huge help in like, you never really realize how weak your legs are until you have that 30-pound pack and you have to climb over a down tree.
Sure.
And you're like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Just some simple weight training really helps.
Yeah. In terms of, because I bet you there's a lot of people who think it sounds great, but I imagine if you're out there by either by yourself or even in a group, you know, you're walking miles, it might get kind of boring. Are there some mental strategies you use? You talked about like the app with wildflowers. Mm-hmm. Are there kind of, I don't know, ways in which you keep the mind, occupied so that it doesn't seem like you're on a forced march?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I hear that from non-hikers. Like, how do you not get bored? It sounds really boring. From hikers, I've never heard that.
Okay.
So I think if people enjoy the day hiking,
yeah,
I don't know that they would get bored. Gosh, that's, that's such a good question. But yeah, just looking at the scenery, for me, looking at the flowers, you know, usually we're backpacking in the summer, so there's wildflowers, you know, maybe seeing if there's some birds, hearing the birds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I usually take the time on trail, like if I'm not talking to my friends or something, to like process things that I don't have time to process in daily life.
Yeah.
That's partially why I go backpacking, is to kind of like get rid of all of that and work through it and then come back a better person.
I'm curious too, you know, we're dispensing some advice for people who haven't done it before. Are there some things you wish you knew when you first started out that you kind of now know now? Were there some advice you wish you would have gotten back then when you first started?
I think researching gear before you buy it.
Okay.
Would be a huge one for me because so I backpacked a lot when I was a child with my parents or with my dad, but he, you know, he had all the gear, like that he was my father, so he packed all the stuff,
sure,
he had all the gear, like I didn't have anything to do with that. So I restarted backpacking, I re-got into it in 2016. Basically, obviously, now I'm an adult. I had to buy all this gear. We were going on a PCT section hike. So I was like, okay, well, I have all this gear I need to purchase. And I didn't do any research. I just purchased gear. And then I'm on my trip and I'm like, wow, this is, you know, some gear just really didn't work for me. I think I tried gear out on like one overnight before I went on this PCT section hike. And so, I ended up getting rid of most of the gear, which ends up just costing you way more money than just doing your research, being diligent about, okay, this is the gear item that I want. I'm going to save up for it instead of just buying whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, two or three times out, you're like, this really doesn't work for me. Now I have to rebuy what I actually want.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Francesca Weinheimer, and she is the, she runs the website Hike Oregon. We're talking about beginning backpacking. So are there some hikes you know of that you think would be good for folks to tackle on their first overnight trip? What are some ones that maybe are fairly close by that they can tackle and not be too far away from the car in case they need to bail out?
Right. Yeah. I always recommend, if you're going out for your very first time, to maybe do a hike that you've done before on a day hike.
Okay.
Just because then it's familiar to you and it's not so intimidating. So I really like places like Duffy Lake, Moraine Lake, Green Lakes, Canyon Creek Meadows, Pamelia Lake. All of those, unfortunately, do need the special permits for the summer for backpacking. But places that don't, that I also like to recommend, are like the Mackenzie River Trail. Granted, that's a little bit longer, but you could just do a section of it. It has really nice sections that you can do. The Rogue River Trail as well. You can do just an out and back, or you can do the whole thing if you wanted to. And then, honestly, the Pacific Crest Trail. Like, there are so many easy to get to sections where you can do an out and back, or even like a shuttle, like someone picks you up in 20 miles. There's so many easy road crossings, like that cross major highways, that people can come get you. And the PCT is so wonderful because it's usually very well maintained and the campsites are really obvious. They're usually by water. So something like that, where you're taking away those scary aspects of it.
Sure.
Like, where do I find water? They're not really there, especially in Oregon on the PCT. There's a lot of water.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, Francesca, as we get towards a close, I think my last question for you, we talked earlier about don't pack your fears, but obviously, you know, there are important things, because even if you're starting out and doing these easier hikes we just talked about, you're going to be overnight. You're going to be away from home. You're going to be away from your car, chances are. What are maybe sort of the last or the most important two or three things you tell people, you know, no matter what, if you're going to go for an overnight backpack, here are, you know, these are rules you just shouldn't break, or these are shortcuts you shouldn't take.
Oh gosh. Well, always have your first aid kit.
Okay.
That is very important. Some people pack more in their first aid kit than others. Depends on if you know how to use the stuff in it, I guess.
Sure. Sure.
Maybe be a little versed in wilderness first aid. You know, there's online classes you can take pretty easily. So first aid kit, adequate supplies in the first aid kit, and then making sure that someone knows where you are.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is huge. It doesn't matter if you're going with other people. They're also lost if you're lost, right?
Sure.
So having someone at home who knows what trail you're taking, what trailhead you're departing from, where you're going to be camping that night, and then what time approximately in a few hour range you're supposed to be back and contacting said person.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if you're not back, they know to call authorities,
yeah.
right? And that way, search and rescue knows exactly where to start looking. They know exactly what trail you've been on and where you potentially camped. So they don't have days of searching. They have a much smaller
sure,
area.
Sure, sure.
So that I think is super, super important. And then last but not least, just be mindful of the danger of wildfires.
Hmm.
I know here in Oregon, that's a big thing in the summer. So be mindful of, you know, is there potential thunderstorms in the area, and maybe checking new wildfires before you head out into the wilderness.
Perfect, perfect. That sounds great. Well, Francesca Weinheimer, she runs the website Hike Oregon. Thanks so much for coming in and sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's the show for today. In case you missed any of this or any episode of Oregon on the Record, all the shows are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, Senator Ron Wyden stops by to talk about a host of issues he's working on behalf of all Oregonians. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.